Lord bless you and welcome in the name of the Lord. Just while you're seated, just quietly carry on with the spirit that's here. Let's sing Only Believe, the chorus, Only Believe. Just know that it's for us if we believe. Amen. Only believe. Come with respect before you, the one and only God, Almighty God, the righteous God, the one that gave his very life that we would have eternal life if we receive what you said. We know, Lord, we've just got to believe, not just know about Jesus Christ, but believe Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that we must believe it in our heart and not our head. Know that it's true. Believe in the impossible. Lord, we just pray that you be with us during these meetings we've got this morning and this afternoon. Be with the people, Lord, that listen in at their time of listening. Uplift them. Encourage them. May they be glad that they've tuned in and take part of what they're hearing. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't ask for this one, but can we sing Welcome, 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 the chorus? We sung that at Tucson, Arizona one time, and wow, the crowd just lifted. Welcome, welcome. Just think about who we're welcoming, the Holy Spirit. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Holy Ghost, we welcome thee. Come with us. This very whatever our need, Jesus Christ is the answer to that cry. Just believe it, and you will receive it, and he'll come to you. Let's sing number 703, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. My wife's not here this morning or this afternoon. We've got an unexpected guest that doesn't want to go to church. But we can't leave her on her own. She's 86 and she may not be there if we got home. So she had to not come. We tried to get her to come. She's not from Gisborne, or was once. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the strength of hope. Jesus, Jesus, now I trust You, now I'm through the morning all. Jesus, Jesus, friend. Amen. You know, it's good feeling when you take whatever the need is to Jesus. But, oh, it's so real good when you get the answer back. Amen. And you're part of it. You can glorify Him. Say, Jesus, I knew if I trusted You, I'd receive it. Amen. And you do. But you got to believe it. Let's sing number 668. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I am crying in my soul, which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. From my wandering and going astray.
away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. That's the joy of my soul like a sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart.
This before, but you know, it's something that some people indicate, oh, I don't know whether I have Jesus in my heart. I'm not sure. I think he's there. If you only think he's there, he hasn't come yet. Your life changes, and we know that. When Jesus comes into your heart, things happen. It all changes. And I personally went along for quite a number of years thinking I knew about Jesus, I knew that he died for me, I believed all the words. Have I got Jesus in my heart? Yeah, I have, I believe it. But it was there, not here. And then when Jesus come into the heart, suddenly your life changes. That's the level you should try to get to understand. And you know what? He wants to be more in your heart than you want him in there. Let's sing one we've used to sing when we're kids. All Things Bright and Beautiful. Haven't sung it for a long time. When we were kids, we used to sing this in the Baptist church way back. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and God made the glowing. can certainly see it in nature. No matter where you look, the weather, the trees, the birds, the animals, you name it, even the people around you, we know that God did it all. Do we have an item that I haven't heard about? You do. Right. That's good. Well, let's have it now. You may be seated. And we have luncheon as usual. Today, at 1 p.m., we've got a service. 7 p.m. Tuesday, pre-meeting. And that's what we have for notices. Sister Mel and Sister Shirley.
Many times I bow beneath a heavy load. On bended knees to God a prayer I pray. As I knelt there on the floor, He reminded me once more that the answer on the way. Oh yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. My heavenly Father knows the need. A special need within your life, my friend, and you're seeking for an answer every day. If by faith you'll start believing, mighty soon you'll be receiving, for the answer is on the way. Oh yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus says, I believe it, and it's so. My heavenly Father knows the need before we on the way. Oh yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus in it, I believe it, and it's so. My heavenly Father knows the need. Sure, the answer's on the way, and we can rest assured the answer's on the way.
That's the truth too. The Lord knows what's coming before we ask. And we got to believe that He's going to do it. For prayer requests, there's one here. It's from Susan, who's the mother of Megan, and it reads, Attention Prayer Warriors. That's you fellows. And anyone else that would like to join in, thousands of miles away. I am in need of prayer for my oldest daughter, Megan, who is just 8 weeks pregnant. Megan has had all kinds of autoimmune issues since she was 15. Megan's progesterone level is extremely low and is at 6.9. It should be 11 and 44. The doctor's report is not good and told her she would most likely lose this baby. But we will not believe the report of the doctor, but we believe the report of the Lord. Please pray for the healing of all the above, and including a healthy, full-term pregnancy. We can ask that and believe for it. Stand with her. We just remember people in the nation of Israel, the Lord's nation that he favors, but he loves everybody. But not all in Israel are the Lord's, but there are a lot of them. And do we have any unspoken prayer requests here, signified by a raised hand? Did you have a special one, Diane, did you? Okay. Well, the Lord knows what you're praying about. We need to believe for it. Okay, let us pray. Lord, we're so very grateful that you make yourself available to us. We're just dust. We're nobodies. But you love us, each one, individually. Lord, it's not the family of the person that you're loving, or the church, or the congregation. It's the individual. And they are sons and daughters. But Lord, there's a lot of people don't realize that they are sons and daughters of God yet. They yet to make that decision. Help them, Lord, to realize that they've got to receive Jesus Christ for him to operate all the promises that he's given for us. We just pray especially for those overseas, wherever they are on the internet, for their needs. We haven't forgotten them, and certainly Jesus Christ hasn't forgotten them. They are just as real wherever they are as we are here in the auditorium. So we pray for people that are in need, people that really have pain, people that are lost, people that are lonely, don't know which way to move or how to get out of this problem or what to say to somebody else. Lord Jesus, you are the expert on all of these things. Help these people wherever they are, even here in the auditorium. I pray for those, Lord, that haven't made yet the decision for Jesus Christ. They know about you, Lord, but they haven't made the decision to walk with you. We pray for them. Lord, help us to be testimonies for Jesus Christ, for whomsoever we meet. Cause us to be open about things of God and invite other people to have Jesus Christ in their heart. We love you, Lord. We really do. And Lord, we know that you're coming soon because you've promised it. Won't be very long, and we'll go with you. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, let's sing one that I had down here, and then Howard went and played it earlier on. But I really like it, and so do you. It's Never Alone, and you are never alone. It's quite a long hymn, but it's good to understand the words and let the Spirit just bless you as you sing it. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roar. I've felt since break is dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior. If you're like me, sometimes you get down a bit low and you don't know what you should do or what you need to do. You know, and I've sung that to myself, the chorus, Never Alone. And it's lifted me, knowing that you're not alone. All you've got to do is ask the Lord and believe what he's going to do for you. Then leave the problem at the foot of the cross. He will deal with it. Let's sing one more, then Brother Howard will come. There's a Light in the Window, number 613. Good words in this one too.
There's a light in the window. Tables spread its splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Can't see the crystal paper.
I have. I'm sure you do too. It's good to keep thinking about it. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord? I want to ask you a question before I start. Get this thing going properly. Hold on. Who believes in angels?
Amen.
Who doesn't believe in angels? I thought you were raising your hand, Paul. I believe in angels. With all my heart and with all my soul. And furthermore, I believe the angels are here in this building. And I want to speak about angels today. And I pray that God will help us to understand what he'd want us to know. It's a very wonderful subject, actually, and I just realize how wonderful it is. We welcome you all here this morning. We pray that God will be with us and speak to our hearts hand. Not too many here this morning for whatever reason. I pray that God will help each one of them, because we're living in serious moments. Very serious times. Very serious times. You know, without getting into politics, they've just got a democratic government in America, which at the bottom line is anti-God. No questions. That could shorten things down real fast. Mine's just not all over yet. It could all change too. So I'm not predicting anything, but I'm just saying that we need to be really serious about our walk with God, because the pressure could come on the believers, Christians worldwide. And I just pray that God will help us all to walk in the center of His perfect will. Who wants to do that? May God help us. And so I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Psalms, verse 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. May God bless His precious word. I'd also like to turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their heads to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning under the blood of Jesus Christ, our only access to Your presence. We pray, Lord, that You by Your Holy Spirit would come and anoint Your word to our hearts, that we may speak, Lord, under inspiration. We may hear under inspiration, Lord, and may we act upon under inspiration. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A lot colder down here, Diane. I've just turned it on. It's good. Wonderful. I want to speak about the angels of the saints. And we just pray that God will come and speak to us by His Spirit about this. So wonderful. It's very encouraging. Fact to the weary believer today, that without the angels of God with us, we would never survive. Who believes that? Without the angels of God with us today, we would never ever survive. And that's because you don't fully understand the impact they have on your life, even today. God's children throughout history have been sustained by angels of God. And the bride of this day is going to need the angels of God to keep us unto his coming. I'm not trying to frighten you, brother and sister, but I'm trying to say to you, it's getting really close. It's really serious, and we really need to know where we're walking with the Lord. Because one day, it'll be all over. And I want to be on the right side. I want to be serving the Lord. Today, last week, we spoke about what's wrong with worldliness. Does everyone remember that was here? We've had about 80 views. Above everything else, people just really want to know. And part two is this afternoon. Short. It's very challenging. What's killing Christians is worldliness. It really is. Gets in their system. Takes you away from God. But I just want to say this today, that we're going to need God's presence in our life. Now, God, these angels are not here today and gone tomorrow. They don't work like that. The Bible says they're encamped about you. The word encampeth means to pitch a tent and abide there. And I said to my wife this morning when I was doing the dishes, wasn't doing the dishes, was in front of the sink anyway. I said, do you see the tent? She looked out on the lawn. Where's the tent? I said, the angels of the Lord are here in that tent. And I want to say this, that the angel of the Lord is in this meeting. Amen. They are here. Who's glad they're here?
Amen.
To say, welcome, Lord Jesus.
Welcome, Lord Jesus.
We want him to be here. You acknowledge him and he can help you and bless you.
Amen.
So it's really important. So God's angels are ever with you. And I just want to know that all the time. Because when you can't do anything, they are there. They watch your every move because they're ever present. Now, in our reading, we read about the angels that came to the disciples at the tomb. They brought spices and two men standing in white apparel, which we know are angels. And they said that they knew exactly what Jesus had spoken to them while he was in Galilee before his crucifixion. They knew what he said. How could they recite back what Jesus had said to them, those angels? How could they recite back what they'd told them? Because they were there. They are in this building this morning, and they know what you're thinking. I believe it. We welcome them here. They can come to me anytime they want to. I'm actually expecting to see them with all my heart. And they knew when they said, because those angels were there in their presence testifying, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Yes, they were right there. Just as they are right here, I said this morning, they are right here with us. And who believes God keeps his word?
Amen.
I don't care if you don't. I do. It's coming to that. No matter what others do, do you believe? Do you now believe? You know, brother and sister, we can't be screwed up about what others do and others don't do. We've got to believe ourselves and walk close to God as we can. Now, who do the angels encamp about? Those that fear the Lord, it says. And the fear to displease him day by day. We fear to displease the Lord day by day. We fear to be outside of his word by disobeying him. And how do we displease the Lord? By disobeying his word. That's how it happens. Those things he has shown you to do. and we let them slip by. I want that to sink in. The things God has shown you to do, you let them slip by. You know what that does? It grieves God. It really does. It hurts him when he's showing you what to do and you let it slip through your fingers without doing it. Those things that he's shown us to do, we so easily let them slip by. Disrespect to God and his people is not fearing God. Disrespect to God and his people is not fearing God. I cannot overemphasize this. You need to respect one another. You are God's chosen. You are his redeemed people. And you need to respect one another. I'm not saying you don't, because I believe you do, actually. I'm just saying this because these messages go far and wide. There's got to be respect to the servants, his servants, and to show disrespect is not fearing God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 25:42? He said, "For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these people here this morning," I'm adding that, "but ye did it not to me." I'm very conscious of this, more so than I've ever been. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Disrespect to his prophets and ministers is not fearing God. God warns us to be careful in our attitude to God's servants. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22. He said, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." This is God speaking. You respect a man of God, whoever he is. You may not even understand him. You may not even agree with him. But if he's a man of God, you respect him anyway. Very important, we fear the Lord. For God to send his angel to encamp around you, we need to fear the Lord. They are the believer's protector. The angels are. Was it said? Just said that. I like this. Well, Brother Branham actually said in the film, Deep Calleth Unto Deep, he said, "That's right. Let Satan take after a believer, and he's got Jesus Christ on his hands." Wow. When the devil tries to attack you and you're God's child, he's got Jesus Christ on his hands. And Jesus has warned, any who touch or harm the child of God. In Matthew 18, verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels," here we go, "do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Did you know you've got an angel? Who believes that? Raise your hand. God has given you an angel. And you know what? You need him. And I need him. And I don't want him to leave me. The Lord said, "For I say unto you that in heaven there are angels That's the little ones. That's us. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And God jealously watches over his children. Now listen to this reading. It's all through the Bible. Mark chapter 9 verse 41 says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because," I want to make this point, "because ye belong to Christ." That's a condition. Some people say, "Oh, somebody gave me a drink of water, so they're going to heaven." Hold it. He didn't say that. If you give a cup of water to a person because they belong to Christ, out of respect for them, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in him, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. So to God, this is very important that we show respect to God's children. Amen. Who believes that's amen?
Amen.
Really important. Now, I want you to notice the Bible doesn't say that we would not get into trouble with the angels. When the angels are there, it does not say that we won't get into trouble. Problems come into your life. Overcomings, battles, sicknesses, whatever it is. It doesn't say that won't happen. But it says, he will deliver them. Hallelujah. It says that he will, in Psalm 34, verse 7, we read it a while ago. The angel of the Lord campeth about them that fear the Lord, and he will deliver them. I believe the angel of the Lord around me, and he's helped me out of a lot of problems. You felt the angel of the Lord helped you out of a lot of problems? Do you fear the Lord? Then he promised. He has a promise of God sending his angels to keep you. So I depend on the Lord. You've got to be sensitive to God. You need to realize that God is around you, Brother Charlie. And he anoints you. It's not you. It's God that does that. We can't do anything. We're just dust, as the Bible says. But when God anoints you, he can use you and you can be a blessing to his people. Yeah, there are those who got into trouble. And I want to speak about this one. I want to speak about Jacob. Brother Jacob. He became Israel. He did not have, shall we say, very good character traits. Shocking. I'm not just making this up. This is what the Bible says. Jacob seemed to get under everybody's skin. He was just seemed to have something about him that really put people through the test. Actually, his name means supplanter. And that's not a good start. What does a supplanter mean? Supplanter means to supersede another person, especially by force or treachery. That's not good. To supersede another by force and treachery. Deceitfulness. He seemed to have an acute ability, Jacob, to rip off people. He did. He lied to his father-in-law, his patriarch father, he lied to him. He stole from his firstborn brother. You can read this in Genesis 27:35 if you want to. He used subtlety to cheat him from a blessing. Deceived his father-in-law and other things which were flaws in his nature. You say, what a bad guy Jacob was. But Jacob had a quality that many lack today. Yeah. With all those flaws in his nature, he had a quality that many lack today. And this is the quality. Jacob feared God. Brother and sister, if you fear God, you've got God on your side straight away. So remember that. If you're not fearing the Lord, you've got problems coming big time. He wanted the blessing of God above everything. Jacob wanted it above everything. Even if he cheated to get it, he used his skills to get the blessing. And he did. Because God saw his intent of his heart. He wanted to be blessed. For the birthright, for the blessings. Where is that hunger and determination today? It's fading. The hunger and determination today is fading amongst people. Because Jacob feared God, angels encamped about his life. It was impossible for Jacob to lose because he feared God. Now this applies to you and I. It's not just a Bible story. You apply the principle of God's word, he's going to bless you. If you don't do it, you're in trouble. Now that's what God's word says. We're going to get to it. Now he was flanked by angels, Jacob was. He may not have seen them, but they were there. In front of him and behind him. I want the angels of God to be in front of me and behind me. On either side, I want them to be there. Who wants the angels of God to be with you?
Amen.
You know, brother and sister, no matter what happens, you know the angels of God are there because you fear God. Now, Jacob got into some very sticky situations. Real bad ones. Worse than you. I say worse than you. Listen to what I'm saying. But he knew the angels were near him. He saw them coming up and down the ladder when he was lying on a rock, when he was fleeing from his brother. He saw the angels descending and ascending. He got that stone and he anointed it with oil. And he blessed that place because that's where God was dwelling. He said, I never realized this was where God is. God is with his children. God is with me this morning. I want to ask you a question. Is he with you?
Yes.
If you fear the Lord, he is with you, even in your seat. So he got into some very sticky situations, Jacob did. His angry father-in-law was chasing him one way because he tricked him. And his livid and enraged brother was coming the other way. His brother was more than upset with him. He wasn't just coming to punch him up. He was coming with 400 soldiers to kill him. Have you ever been in that situation? You want to have the angels of God around you when that comes. But there was a buffer of angels between Jacob and his enemies. You know why? Because Jacob had a personal encounter with the angel of God on the hillside. When he got a hold of that angel, this is what he said. I'm not going to let you go. Until you bless me. Until you get to that desperation. Listen, brother and sister. Until you get to that desperation, nothing's going to happen. You've got to get to that place, Lord. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I need to come to that place in a greater way. And so do you. All of us need it. People are just drifting. I say this in the name of the Lord. We're a bunch of drifters. And why I said it? Because I felt led to say it. We're drifting. God has much for us, but we're just drifting around. Now it says here, his brother was more than upset, as we know. But there was a buffer of angels. It came between Jacob and his enemies. And Jacob had a personal encounter with the angel of God. And he prevailed with God and called a prince with God. He prevailed with God. I want to say you can prevail with God. You can get through to God. Don't say, oh, I'm not very spiritual. Nonsense, you are spiritual. If you want the Lord, he'll come to you. But you've got to fear God. You've got to mean business with God and not be just, if he blesses me, he blesses me. Not good enough. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. It's got to come to that. It says in Genesis 32, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. I love that. When his angry brother Esau hit that buffer of angels, remember he was angry, 400 men with swords. They're going to chop off his head. Something. They were going to kill him no matter what. I tell you, when the devil's against you, he's against you. When his angry brother Esau hit that buffer of angels, what happened? This angry man with 400 men to slaughter him. Let's read it. Genesis 33, verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children, that's his children, unto Leah and unto Rachel, his two wives, and unto the two handmaids they had. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them. He went ahead, Jacob did, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now remember, Esau wants to take off his head, and he had men to do it. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. He didn't chop off his head after all. He embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. That's what the angels of God do. You see, brother and sister, we've got to be in the presence of the angels, God's angels. And when you're in the presence of the angels, it brings a sweetness and a softness in your life and personality. It's impossible to be arrogant in the presence of God. Impossible. Because God has a love and a presence and a concern for us and for others. So we see these things are very true and very important. Divine love prevails in every heart. We cannot be arrogant in the presence of God. You just cannot. You just cannot get angry with anybody if you've been in the presence of God. When you're there, it's just a sweetness and a love. So if you're getting angry and blowing up, you need to get in the presence of God. You need the angels of God to be around you. You've got to spend more time in prayer waiting on God. Because we have a horrible thing in our nature that raises up. It's an ugly thing. Who believes that? Four. I tell you what, whether you believe it or not, it is. And when it raises its head, you know about it, and others do too. I've got to ask God to deliver me from this. The three Hebrew children we know well. They feared God to move outside his word. The king commanded everyone to fall down and worship the image that the king had set up. You have to do it. They're going to force you to do things. It's coming. They're doing it in America. They're going to do it here. Force you to do this. Force you to close your church. It's coming. Do you believe this? Oh, we're away in the fairies somewhere. It's going to happen. The persecution will come. And we see that they knew what God's word had said. If you read this in Leviticus 26:1, ye shall make you no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Don't worship idols. I don't care what they are. You know, all these traditions we see around us, even amongst the cultures in this country, idol worshippers, sorry, that's what they are. You bow down to these images and all these funny looking things. It's wrong. God told you not to do it. And the king, he came out in full anger because they would not bow down to his image. But made no difference. The three Hebrew children, they feared the God more than they feared the king. The furnace was heated 7 times, but they never flinched. They were determined. They feared God more than the king. And this time, God never sent an angel. He came himself. The angel said, my Lord, shall we go down? He said, no, I'm going to go down. The Bible says he went down. He was the Son of God. And he went down and he went. People say, how could that be the Son of God? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Of course, he's ever present. He's always was. He's eternal. And he went down with them into the fiery furnace. And he cooled the way. He cooled the flames. And the presence of God was there. They had great fellowship. I wonder what they spoke about. Maybe they spoke about his coming to earth. I don't know. Just a thought as a savior. I don't know. But I'm sure it would have been wonderful. It would have been glory to be there. And he cooled the temper of Esau, as we know. He cooled the flames of affliction. Now I want to speak about something. You say, Brother Hal, where are the angels here this morning? Just want to say this. Don't be stumbled by your eyesight. If you don't see angels here, it has nothing to do with them being here. Here or not being here. You say, what do you mean? Faith in God is not based upon seeing God with your eyes. I love the Lord who loves them. In Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance, the evidence. This is the substance. Substance. Got a hold of something. It's not imagination. I've got a hold of this Bible. It's substance. Got a leather case on it. It's substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see it to know you have it. Isn't that wonderful? This is faith is greater than eyesight. In Hebrews, I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, verse 1. You put that up, Nancy. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, but put it up there anyway. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance. The assurance. This is from the Amplified. The confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So the angels of God are here this morning. I don't see them. I don't feel them. Does that mean they're not here? He said they would be. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. And the angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him. You've heard the statement, seeing is believing. That's false. It's not faith. It's not believing because you see something. I've had it many times. I've seen something, wow, that's amazing, but wasn't so. It was a reflection. You cannot rely on your eyesight. You rely on the word of the Lord, what he has said, and he keeps his word. So because we do not see an angel does not mean they are not with you. Do you believe that? How many are here? How many angels are here? I think you'd be really amazed. We welcome them here. We're very grateful to have every one of you servants of God with us. We love his presence. We often feel their presence. Who's felt the presence of the Lord? It's just so wonderful. It's reality. There's nothing like the feeling of his presence in your heart. One day, the king of Syria wanted to capture the prophet. So he sent down a couple of soldiers to get him. He sent down an entire army. I wonder what the Lord thinks when man wants to catch a servant. And the king sends down an entire army to capture one man. That's what the Bible says. They wanted to catch him. The great army of horses and chariots. Capture one man. Man is so blinded to the power of God. Elisha feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. He did not fear the king of Syria. So because he feared the Lord, he had nothing to fear. I want to say this, brothers and sisters, if you are fearing, there's a lack of love in your life for God. The Bible says love casteth out fear. If fear is running your life, you need to get in love with Jesus Christ. You need to know him. Then all the fear will leave you. I don't care what it is. Test, trial, sickness, anything. When I pray for people sometimes, we've got to pray and cast out the devil of fear first. Get the fear out, and then faith comes in and love for God comes in. But the servant of his, Elisha's servant, lacked faith and he feared the enemy. Let's read this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 20. I'm going to read it from the Amplified again because it's really easy to follow. I'm not saying you're dumb, but I follow it sometimes easier when I read the Amplified. So the king of Syria sent their horses and chariots and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." There's more angels in here than anything the devil could raise up against you. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, not a theory. This is not a doctrine. This is reality if you believe God's word. I believe him. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe him?
Amen.
If you believe him, God can come and bless you. Elijah answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." Then Elijah prayed, "Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see." And it's not these eyes. It's spiritual eyes of faith that God wants to open this morning in your life. You may have perfect eyesight, but we're talking about the faith sight that God gives to the children of God. "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Smite this people with blindness." Well, I want to say this, God can open and close eyes. Now, when he closed the eyes of the Syrian army, I don't believe he closed their natural eyes. They could see where they're walking. Here's a stone. I've got to go around here. I believe they could see, but they didn't understand where they were. They didn't have knowledge of where they were. You don't have to fear your enemies. God can shut their eyes very quickly. I love them. Don't you love them? So Elijah said unto the Syrians, they came looking for the prophet. That was him. And the prophet said to them, he said this, "This is not the way or the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek," which was himself. But their eyes were closed to understand who he was. And he led them into Samaria. And when they had come into Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. They're in the midst of Samaria. Right in the enemy's camp, locked up. And they realized they were whipped. They could have killed them. But I think Elijah said, "Don't do that. Feed them. Give them a good feed. Send them on their way." You see, brother and sister, you don't have to fight your enemies. God will do that because he sends his angels to encamp around about us. He's with us. You believe this, don't you? We don't come to church and not have a God living in our lives. I want him to be here. I want him to be at home. Wherever I am, I want to know that the angels of the Lord are about those that fear him. Now, a question for you is, did the angels and the chariots of fire come when the servant saw them? They're always there. That's right, brother. They were all there all the time. Because you don't see the angel of God does not mean that he is not near you. You don't see any wings in here. Like Isaiah said, he went into the house of the Lord and the Lord filled the house and his train filled the temple. He was in the presence of God and God was filling that whole place. I said, "Lord," the other day I came into this building. I said, "Lord, I want you to come in to this place and I want you to fill every corner of this building with your train, with your presence." Do you really want this? Amen. Brother and sister, if you really want it, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. Then things started happening greatly. He's there all the time. "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them." So if you have a problem in your life, God promised to deliver you of that problem. When you fear the Lord, he's with you and he'll bless you and help you. So we see God can open and close eyes. You say, "Oh no, he wouldn't do that." Oh yes, he does. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? "It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To them, it's not given."
God opens and closes eyes as he wills, according to his good pleasure. So if you see this morning, that's the goodness of God to you, that he's opened your eyes. Don't you love the Lord?
Amen. Another one here we cannot miss before we close. Peter was in prison. And he was there because he feared God and not man. Peter was. And Herod wanted to kill Peter. He's going to be a big show the next morning. We're going to kill him, make everyone happy. But our God is mighty to save and deliver those that fear him. Let's turn to Acts 12, 6 to 11. Nancy, I'm going to read this from the Amplified again. The very night before Herod was about to bring him forth, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers fastened with two chains. They didn't want him to get away, they had two chains. And sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared. Now, he didn't come, he appeared. Because he's already there. He appeared standing beside him. And a light shone in the place where he was. And the angel gently smote Peter on the side, and wakening him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. I often think when the chains fell onto the concrete, tiles of the prison house, it must have made a noise. Cling, clang, clang, clang. Right? Those prison guards kept on snoozing. God shut their ears. Angel of the Lord. We made those chains fall lightly. Very lightly. But it says there, the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Tighten your belt, bind on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap up your outer garment around you and follow me." And Peter went out along following him, and he was not conscious that what was apparently being done by the angel was real. We are like that. We don't realize God is doing this for you. You don't even think it's God. You think, "Oh, this is a good thing. This is working out right." No, God's working it for you. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. And he says, he thought he was seeing a vision. No, Peter, it's actually happening. God has sent his angel to you. He promised he would for those that fear him. And he may do this to you in a few days or weeks or months. He may send his angel to you when you really want him, when you really need him. When he passed through the first guard, the second, he came to an iron gate which led into the city. And of its own accord, the gate swung open. Isn't that amazing? This happened many times. Great testimonies in the Soviet Union, other places with communism. So against believers, God just directed them out of the prison house. Close their eyes. The prison guards could not see them. And the dogs waiting there didn't even see them. They walked through and the gate opened, they went out. Who knows the testimony? Wonderful. Who believes God can do that this morning? I tell you, you're going to need it soon. We're going to need this. This is not just an interesting story. You're going to need the angels of God to be around you. And therefore, we need to fear the Lord and love him with all our hearts. And so, when he came to himself, it says, I think I would have come to myself too. Wow, this is amazing. He came to himself. "Now I really know that I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people that was expecting to do to me." When those that fear the Lord are in trouble, God's angels move into action. I believe they're here this morning. Amen. And I want to speak to your heart and to you people out there. listening in on the internet, God wants to speak to your heart too, because he's ever present. He can be here and there at the same time. Yes. No. Yeah, the fear of God is reverential trust in God. That's the meaning of the word fear of God. He's not against us to knock us down. He loves us. And we fear to go outside his will because we love him. It's all based on love. So you people out there, when we say fear, we're speaking about a reverential trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't worry about seeing an angel, but believe God has given you one. People are looking for signs and wonders. Or if I see a light, it's more than light, it might be a reflection off the car window. I've had people say, there's a big glow around you, brother. Well, it may be, maybe not. Those things don't hold. The thing is, we need to have a love for the Lord. And if we love him, we love his word. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. You'll keep my commandments and do them. So that's what we're speaking about. I love this quote, and I want to read it to you because it's really a blessing about seeing an angel. Want to see an angel? They will appear. When you go to thinking about him, that's when he appears. When you go to thinking about the Lord, that's when he appears. They were talking about him when he appeared on the road to Emmaus. They were walking, talking about what they'd done to our Lord. And that's when Jesus came out of the bush, maybe. He came and stood with them and started talking to them. And that's the reason maybe he doesn't appear to so many of us. We talk too much about other things. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, this is the truth. We talk about other things instead about Jesus. Maybe we're talking about trading cars. Sorry, Brother Lee, but I just how it is. Maybe we're talking about trading cars, something else, or the washing, or what kind of soap powder you use. Listen to the radio, some kind of nonsense. That's the reason he doesn't appear. If we just keep our minds on him, let the meditation of my heart, he told Joshua. He said, meditate on these things day and night. David said, bind them about my bedpost. Sure, let them stay inside of you and think of them. Meditate upon them. And that's when he appears. When I go walking around this park, I start thinking about the Lord. I'm expecting to see him walk out behind a tree sometime. Who believes that? Do you believe God's alive? Brothers and sisters, he's here this morning. If we can just understand that God is here, he'll bless you and make himself known to you. Do you ever notice, he says, how the angel of the Lord comes of an evening at 3 o'clock when I go in. I close everything out. Then let no one come in and just sit there and read the word and yield myself until I know he's there. I can feel it. When he's coming, he comes in. And I know he's there. Oh my, that's the way you do. That's the way the disciples did. They were with one place and one accord in the upper room. And they were all up there praising him. And all of a sudden, he came in. And that's the way he does it. Abraham held on, for he knew that God was able to keep his promise. He's faithful. God is faithful. He stayed by the word that God had spoken to him. That's how angels appear to people, is when
You stay by the word, not by a man-made theology, but by the word, thus saith the Lord. When you stay by this, that's when the angels appear. If you want angels to appear to you, keep your mind on God and off the things of the world. Go about your business, go to your church, go to your washing of dishes, wherever you are, keep your mind on Him all day and all night long. Then God will do something. You're drawing close to Him. You got the world shut out. Just you and He are together. The Bible says, thou wilt give Him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on His cell phone. That doesn't sound right, does it, Brother Tom? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, brother and sister, we've just got to spend more time. We get together. We shouldn't get together and start talking about this and about that and, you know, oh, this and my car and my boat and or whatever and my cooking and my recipes. Now, there's okay for those things. There's a place for that. But when all our conversations are caught up with this stuff all the time, friends of God just leaves. I'm telling you the truth. I know it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26 verse 3. A lot of people say, well, the angel of God appeared to this brother or to this servant of God. But saints, I want him to appear to me. I'll never be happy for him appearing to Jacob and to other servants of God, and many have seen the Lord. I have not seen God with my eyes, but I know he's come to me in my heart very powerfully. We cannot live off other people's experiences, as good as they may be. We must have a first-hand experience like Jacob did. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The meeting of the pillar of fire. Have you met God? I want to ask you a question. You don't have to say anything to me. Have you met God? You may come to the church. That's wonderful. You may have met me. You may have met other brothers and brothers Taz and different ones. That's good. But have you met God? Do you know Him when He comes to you? God's real. When His presence comes, it's powerful. It's wonderful. I know there's people here that have met God, I can tell. And I want to meet Him more than I have. God is the Spirit, they that worship Him, the Bible says, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Many had angels appear to them. They did. A lot of people have angels appear to them. A lot of people in the Bible didn't do much good. What I'm getting to, I want them to come to my heart. We know people in the Bible like Cain and Balaam and others. But what good did it do to them? God came and spoke to them. Wish I had that privilege. It's what you do with God's word when He speaks. That's what makes a difference. Did they obey the angel's voice? What is the reason you want to see an angel as we close? What is the reason you want to see an angel? That we may be drawn closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and that we may be ready for a soon return. I want to go with Him when He comes. If He comes this afternoon, I'm going. You going, Sister Melissa? You believe that, Sister Melissa? Amen. I know you do. That is why God gives His angel to you, to protect you and to lead you in the paths of righteousness and be made ready for the soon coming, to take us home to that wedding supper. So God sends your angel to us. I'm not happy with this world, brother and sister. I am not happy with this world. I think it's failed. There's only one hope, and that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's your only hope, Sister Vera, is the Lord. You know that. Yeah. We really want him to come. God has given angels to the saints of God for a purpose, to make you ready for a soon coming. Amen. Shall we stand for prayer? Every head bowed, every heart bowed more so. Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning, Lord, and thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. And the angels of God are here, Lord, and witnessing every heart, every thought, good or bad, you see it all. I just want to have everything right in my heart, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be gentle. Help me to be sweet, loving, and humble before thee. May you move upon every person here. Move in our hearts, Lord. For the hour of your coming is at the door. We see the world shutting down. The world situation's crumbling as we speak. The world don't even realize. They think it's all going to come right. It won't. It's not prophesied to be that way. I pray, Lord, that we're walking close to God and we'll know your presence at home or at church or at work or walking down the street. We'll know your presence. I want that, Lord, in a greater way in my life. So we give ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. Oh, yes. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, Jesus, now we are. In late prayer, just come forward. We'll pray for you. We are standing. Sister, when Jacob went to sleep that night out in the wilderness and he got a flat stone for a pillow and he went to sleep and he saw in his dream or vision or whatever it was, the angels of God ascending and descending, and he woke up and he said, Lord, you have been here. I never realized that this was holy ground, he said. I never realized that this little stone I'm lying on is holy ground. And he got out some oil and he anointed that rock and he called it Bethel, I believe. The house of God. Brother and sister, we should realize, be more sensitive that God is with us. And when you get down on your knees, the angel of God is next to your bedside. And he will bless you if you be sincere. He promised to bless us. We fear him and love him. We are standing.
going to sing 127, Open My Eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. That's exactly what we're here for.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Jesus, we're very grateful for what you've provided for us for eternity. And what you've asked is so simple, to only believe and to go along the way that you've said it. It's in the Word. Help us to understand it, Lord. A lot of people believe things at different levels, but the Holy Spirit will touch anybody that wants the Holy Spirit. You will be aware of it, Lord, and you will come to them. And we, Lord, need to understand that we need to respond to that call that only God can give. It's not this man, this church, that denomination. No. It's the Holy Spirit, which is God, touching your life, my life. That is what we respond to. Help people that don't understand that it's for them. Give them the understanding, Lord Jesus, we ask. Lord, just bless our food we're about to have, the fellowship. Bless the hands that prepared the food. And may we have a uplifting meeting this afternoon, 1 p.m., Lord. Cause us to take it all in. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. It's just a continuation of the presence of the Lord with us. Bless these people, Lord, as we go our way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's sing Open My Eyes, Lord, as you go on your way.
Open my eyes, Lord.
May the Lord bless you.